ما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In this chapter of the Quran, which we have been reciting for the last 28 days, we have been trying to learn from these verses lessons that Allah wants to teach us. And we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again saying that, "I swear by time that mankind is in loss. Insan is in loss, except for those who believe and do good, and those who enjoin to truth and they enjoin towards patience." The subject that we have been discussing was Insan and Iman, meaning mankind and faith. And we see that God has ascribed loss, failure to mankind, and He has ascribed success to faith and belief. Meaning mankind is in loss until he has faith, until he believes. And if he does not believe, if he does not have faith, then insan is in loss. There's no way he can be successful. He is doomed for failure. And we went through the different discussions regarding iman. What is iman? What is faith? And what are the things that it depends on? And how do you get faith? How do you believe? And we see that faith is a result of understanding. Faith is a result of knowledge and awareness. The more a person gains understanding of this world, of this universe, the more he will understand the creator of this universe. The more he will know of this universe, the more he will know the one who made this universe. This is why Islam encourages for a person to understand and to know and to gain knowledge and to gain awareness, because it's only through awareness that you can gain faith. And faith without knowledge is useless. Faith without understanding is useless. Because those who have faith without understanding, you see that their faith will die out because it's based on a lack of understanding. And hence, from there, we went on to explain those things that become an obstacle for an individual to have faith. And those things include false notions that one has. It includes ta'assub or discrimination. And we see these are the things. These are the means by which hurt us, which harm us from becoming a movement. It prevents iman from entering our heart. So we went through them, and after that we went through those things by which, like, you get faith and you have iman. We went through those, and then we went through the effects of iman, that when you do believe in God, what is the effect of it in your heart, in your life? When you do believe in the messenger of God, what is the effect of it in your life? And when you do believe in the hereafter, what is the effect of it in our lives? So we went through these things so that we understand that in this chapter, the one thing amongst many things that we have learned is that faith has certain requirements and has certain effects. If those effects are not seen, it means there is no faith. If those effects are not seen in your life, it means there is no faith. There can be a claim to faith, but there cannot be faith. It's, for example, like saying, I have a disease, but I don't have anything or any symptoms of those disease. If you don't have the symptoms of those disease, or any of those symptoms, so how can you have that disease? Because the disease itself needs that symptom. Anything that you have must have an effect. That effect shows that you have it. If you say that you are rich, if you say that you are rich, then that wealth that you have must be hidden somewhere. Either it's exposed through your house, your car, your clothes, your job, your bank account, or, for example, under your bed or couch. I mean, if you have it, then you're hiding it somewhere. It should be somewhere. And if it's nowhere, it means you don't have it. So the issue is that if you have faith, then there must be effects of it in your life. It must be seen in your actions. It must be seen in your deeds and what type of a person you are. Because when you have faith, then the whole lifestyle of a person changes to that which he has faith in. And yesterday we were discussing, as this is the last speech in this subject, yesterday we were discussing about repentance. And when you repent, what are its effects, how it happens, you see that when a person repents, it means when he realizes that he is being washed and he realizes that there is a God. Once that realization comes through, then you know that that person's life changes. A person's life changes just by the fact that he realizes anything. For example, you go to a shop, someone who goes to a shop, he wants to buy something, but he sees that he doesn't have his wallet. And he needs that thing right now. So what he does, obviously, he wants to take it without paying. Now you see, before he takes it, he looks right and left. He looks around. He sees that he is not being watched. Why? Because you know the only time you can do wrong is when you're not being washed, or at least you know you're not being washed. Mm-hmm. And once he is certain that he's not being washed, then he does wrong. Then he does wrong. But if he sees a little child, he goes into an aisle where the shelves are large, so he sees, you know, that's the best way to hide. So he goes there, and he's trying to hide something, and he sees a little child come there. And now you see, right away he feels guilt. Right away he feels wrong. Imagine yourself in that position. You feel guilt, you feel wrong that a child is watching you, and you do not want to do this wrong in front of that child. Right away you return that thing. You return that thing. So now what happens with this child watching you, or just the realization that the child is watching you has made you stop doing wrong. So when the child can have such an effect on us, just that child can have such an effect on us, then imagine when someone believes in God who's watching him all the time. When he believes in him, imagine the effect that has on one's life. Whether he is with people or he is away from people, it doesn't matter, because no matter where he is, God is with him. And you see, that's the reason that you trust a believer. Why? Because you know even when he's alone, he can be trusted. And you don't trust a non-believer just because of the fact that when he is with others, he obviously does not do wrong because others are watching. But when he's alone and he does not believe in God and no one is watching, then the desires come out and overwhelm that person. And there's nothing holding him back. This is the reason why faith in a God who's watching us all the time is important in rectifying our lives. That is the only thing that can rectify our lives to make it good, so that we even do good when we are alone. But this can only happen when we have the right idea of God. Meaning, when we regard him as God, if we regard him as God, then we won't do it. But if we regard ourselves as God and him as someone who should listen to us, then obviously in that case, even if you have believed in God, you will say, I can do whatever I want because God must forgive me. See, so what happens is that when you have this belief, what happens? This does not prevent you from doing wrong. Why? Because you have made God in such a way that he must listen to you, not you listening to him. You see that? This is the reason, my brothers and sisters, how it is so important for us to understand that when we recognize God, first we must have the right recognition of God. If you don't recognize him in the way that he is, then obviously when we say to him that he must forgive us, that's what he's there for. He must forgive us. So we are trying to dictate to him what he must do. But we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have faith, it means that we are responsible for our actions. We are responsible for our actions. He is not a God who has to listen to us. We have to listen to him. He is not a God who we dictate to him what he must do. No, he dictates to us what he will do. And that God is saying that yes, you are weak. You have done wrong. You have made mistakes. You went through roads that you shouldn't have traveled. And you went to places you shouldn't have gone. You looked at things that you shouldn't have looked at. You heard things that you shouldn't have heard. You said things you shouldn't have said. There are many things that you have done you shouldn't have done. But you see, when you have done all those things, still he's saying, listen, your life story is being recorded by me. No one else is recording your life except me. And when the day of judgment is described in the Quran, what did I say? Allah says, whoever does an atom's weight of good, he will see it. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil shall see it. So when any good we have done shall be seen, when any evil that we have done shall be seen. So now, here in this ayat, again, and I emphasize this again, Allah does not say that you will be punished for it or rewarded for it. He said that you will just see it. See, understand this. The whole idea of forgiveness is not yet understood. When we understand what is forgiveness of sin, we relate it to ourselves, how we forgive others for their wrongdoings. When human beings, if you ask anyone what is forgiveness means, it means that, for example, if you have done something wrong, all right, to pardon what you have done and not to punish you for it, this is called forgiveness. For example, any person, right, who's going to be executed, and you hear this on the news, when someone is being executed, he will ask the governor of the state to forgive him. And if the governor has the heart, he will say, okay, I pardon him. So it means he has done the wrong. He has done the wrong. He went ahead and he did do wrong. He harmed someone, he killed someone, did something really wrong that he deserved death for it. But now that he did do that, now the idea of forgiveness means not to punish him for it. So this is the idea that is in human beings. And when we have done sin, we have done wrong. Just like that person has done some crime, a crime that deserves death. But now that person has done the crime and he deserves death for it. But the only thing that they did is that they said, all right, let's not punish him for it. Let's not punish him for it. So that was their idea of forgiveness. And they think this is the same forgiveness that's in relationship to God. Now understand the difference here. When you see that forgiveness, Allah is reminding us how useful is that forgiveness in these two ayats. He's saying, whatever evil you have done, you shall see it. He doesn't say you'll be punished for it. You shall see it. The hellfire will come later. The punishment will come later. The chastisement will come later. First of all, you will see it. And others will see it. And everyone else will see it. Just the fact that you will have to live with your sin itself is a punishment for you. You see this? Yes, you're not going to jail, you won't be hanged, you won't be executed, but the fact that you have done this crime, you have to live in the community. So when you come in the community, imagine your life in the community itself is a punishment. Imagine that. Who's going to respect you now? Who's going to honor you now? Who's going to deal with you now? Itself is a punishment. So now, if forgiveness in relationship to God means that just He's not going to punish us. But what's worse, then that punishment is to know that we are, our sins and our evil will be exposed on that day in front of everyone. You see, this is the reason when Allah says that He is going to forgive you, He uses the word ghafara. He uses the word ghafara. Ghafara means to hide something, to put something under a veil. Understand this. It means to put something under a veil, to hide something. And this is the reason that we see that Allah is, one of the names of Allah is that He hides your defects. Ya Sattar al-Uyub, meaning the aib, the defects that you have, He is the one who hides it. I'm on my way to the masjid. And on the way, I walk by one of the brothers' houses, and I see something I shouldn't have. I see something I shouldn't have. He is inside there doing something he shouldn't have. And unfortunately, I seen it. So now, I was walking towards the masjid. Now I take my car and go there fast. I hurry up to the masjid because that's the best place to let everyone know what's going on. You know? So what happens, I see something that he shouldn't have. Maybe he was drinking beer, maybe he was watching something he shouldn't have. Something he was doing wrong. And I run towards the masjid. I come over here and right away, you see this, right away, I tell the brothers, brothers, you know what? That brother, yeah, I mean he was good, right? You thought he was good. Yeah, you thought he was good. But you know what I've seen? Let me tell you something about that brother you don't know about. You don't know about this brother. Let me tell you that. And you reveal everything to him. Expose everything to him. Now you see, he made all these, he had this one knowledge. He just saw one thing from him. You see this? One sin he saw him do. So that's just one knowledge that he has of him. One information he got of him. Just a little bit of knowledge he got of him. Just understand this example. One understanding he got from this brother. One little knowledge he has of him. Right away he feels he needs to expose it. He feels he needs to announce it. Because it's going to make him look all informative. It's going to make him look all knowing that he knows about people. Understand this. How is this? This person, when it is going to be judged, when Allah is going to judge him, he will say that now, that person who did the wrong has done one thing wrong. But this person has done two things wrong. One, he spied on the brother. Because Allah says, do not spy on Muslims. He spied on him. And the other thing is that he revealed his secret that Allah was hiding from the people to the people. So now, when he did these two sins, and that person will be asked, he said, but, that's the fact. It was a fact. It was truth. It was right. You saw it. But you see, now Allah is reminding him, now see the difference between me and you. If I was going to take upon myself your sunnah and your way of life, and what you do, then imagine how much knowledge I have of everyone. How much knowledge I have of everyone. Every sin that you have done, I know about it. Every wrong that you have done, I know about it. Every wrong thought that went through your mind, I know about it. If I had wanted to let the people know, imagine where would that leave everyone. If that person has done something wrong, then he has done it in hiding, in his own privacy. If it is not known amongst the people, it means that I am hiding it from others. I am hiding it from others. So now imagine Allah and how He forgives. Allah is saying that, listen, I have knowledge of everyone. And I have knowledge of everyone's weaknesses, of all their sins, of all the things that they have run wrong. That if one of those things become exposed to people, they cannot live amongst them with dignity. If one of those sins are revealed to the people, they cannot show their face in front of others. Just one of those things, if I reveal to the people, don't you think I have the ability to do that? Don't you think I have the ability to do that? Meaning that God who has made on us, who has put on us distinctive lines to identify one from the other. He has made distinctive lines on us to identify one from the other. Not one line is similar to the other person's lines. These handprints, fingerprints that we have, why do we take them? Because everyone is different. Everyone is unique. I have made everyone unique so you can identify them. I have put identification in their blood so that you can take the blood and you can take the sample of their own flesh. And then you will know who that person is and identify him. I have put so many identification marks to make sure that everyone is unique so that you would know one from the other. How easy was it for me to write on their head that this person is a sinner? If I had wanted to let others know that this person sinned, how easy was it for me? Just like I drew lines on the hands of yours so that you will be known from the rest of humanity, I would have put something on your head that everyone knows that you're a sinner. But I have hidden that sin from others. I hide those wrongdoings from others, those evil from others, so that you can understand that this is my way. I am that person that when I am going to hide your sins, I hide it in such a way that no one would know about your sin. And this is the reason Allah is called Ghaffar. Allah is called Ghaffar. This is the meaning of it, that He hides your sins. When Allah wants to forgive you, when He wants to forgive you, what does that forgiveness mean? It means that Allah is going to erase that. He is not going to even write it down as a sin in such a way that not even the angels who are writing your actions would know that you have done this. This is my brothers, Allah's forgiveness. How Allah forgives. And what do you do to seek that forgiveness? All Allah is saying that if you want to seek forgiveness, then ask Him to forgive you. Istighfar is the greatest means that you have. Istighfar is the greatest means that you have to seek Allah's forgiveness. Say astaghfirullah. Allah, I seek forgiveness from you. Seek istighfar. And we see what is this istighfar? That when you do istighfar, not only are you not punished for what you have done, but also it will be erased from the minds of the angels. They would not know about it that you have done it, nor would you also know that you have done it. When you do istighfar, you won't even know that you have done this wrong. And he says, those who do istighfar, Allah changes their evil deeds to good deeds. They become good, and you will be surprised. I did all these good deeds. You see this? I did all these good deeds. And now you see how important istighfar is. You know, it is said that in heaven, there is a place called Tuba, where all the people will be washed of their sins. Everyone. And those people who reach there, it is said, those people who reach Tuba are those people when every sin that they have done, when the report's going to come out, when the report will come out and all the sins that are written down there, under every sin, there will be an astaghfirullah they asked. Those who made istighfar and those who sought for forgiveness, there you will see that those people will find tuba. Those people will find tuba. So now you see, istighfar, my brothers, is a way, is a method that if we see in our lives, and we should try to implement that in our lives. You know, Luqman the wise had said in his wasiyat, in his will to his children, you know, he said to his children that you are not as smart as a rooster. He said, try to be as smart as the rooster. Because I see that the rooster is smarter than you. He said, why? Because the rooster is up in the morning doing istighfar while you are sleeping. It shows that this animal is wiser than you and smarter than you. You are sleeping while this animal has more consciousness, more awareness to get up and to seek forgiveness. And he seeks forgiveness. And we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had said that there are three people who are safe from shaitan and his army. If you want to be safe from Satan and his armies, then the three people. He said, "As zakirun Allah, those who remember Allah, those who are in the remembrance of Allah." You know, we also remember Allah whenever we are in trouble. But those who are in the remembrance of Allah, they are safe from shaitan and his armies. Two, where it says that those people who shed tears from the fear of Allah, that whenever they remember Allah, they shed tears. Those people are safe from shaitan and his army. And the third people who are safe from shaitan and his army are those who do istighfar at the time of sahar. That is before dawn. Those who do istighfar before dawn, you will see that those people are safe from shaitan and his armies. So, the ways have been mentioned. How you want to protect yourself, those have been mentioned. And now for us to act on those is something that we must do. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And we see over here how much, one other hadith I'll read for you so that, you know, we will be able to understand. There's one action for which it is written that there's no istighfar. Allah Himself says in the Quran that whether they ask for istighfar or they don't ask for istighfar, it won't make a difference because they have rejected Allah and His Messenger. Because they have rejected Allah and His Messenger. This is what Allah says in the Quran. Those who reject Allah, those who reject God, for them, you see, there's no istighfar. And there's also another hadith that says that istighfar is for everyone except for those who don't want it. Forgiveness is for everyone except for those who don't want it. So the Imam was asked, who doesn't want it? I mean, who won't want to be forgiven for their sins? It is those people who seek who don't seek istighfar after they have done a sin. We do sins, we do wrong, sometimes we go wrong. But the fact is that when we seek forgiveness, this shows that we are remorseful for our actions. We repent to Allah, we are asking for His forgiveness. And then there's another hadith that says even a specific amount of time, it says that a person who does wrong and does not seek istighfar for 7 hours after he has sinned, then it means that he doesn't want forgiveness. He is not remorseful for what he has done. Now my brothers and sisters, when we see this, all these things that we have learned in these 30 days, in these days, in these months of Ramadan, all of these things I want to conclude with this, so that we understand the importance of this. And what does it mean? How important it is that yes, we know, we recognize God. We recognize ourselves. We are weak. We do wrong. But we see that the chances God has given us to seek forgiveness. How many ways He has given us to seek forgiveness. But He wants us to do something to seek it. He wants us to ask for it. He wants us to seek it. He wants us to be remorseful of it. Those who seek repentance are those who are remorseful of it. Those who feel bad about what they have done. Because those, again, we have another hadith that says, those who do istighfar and are not remorseful for what they have done, it means that they are ridiculing Allah. That they ridicule God. When they say astaghfirullah and they are laughing, they are not remorseful. So my brothers and sisters, the heart is what should be melted. When we recognize Allah, when we recognize God and see who we are, how easy is it for human beings to forgive, to forget that they are going to die? How easy is it for them not to remember their death? They're going to die. There's no escaping it. Life and death itself is a sign of God. And how arrogant we are to deny God His right. How arrogant we are to deny Him His right. And how are we going to face Him? Just for those who might not believe in the hereafter. Just like Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam had said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Hazri!
Hazri!
When Imam was asked that, how do you know there is a hereafter? How do you know there's a hereafter? So obviously that person who asked him, Imam Ali, understood what kind of a person he was. So he replied him in the same way that he deserves. And he says, okay, how do you know there isn't? How do you know there isn't? Because if there isn't, then the way I'm living my life is the best way to live this life. Simplicity is the best way to live this life. I am happy. The way you are living your life in extremities, you go to extreme on one side and the other side, this is a horrible way of living a life. You're always in depression. Because when a man goes to extremes, he can never be happy. He's always in depression. So the way I'm living my life is the best way. This is a simple life. And I'm always happy. I'm not too exhilarated with the high that you get from the things that you take. Because when you get a high, you know afterwards there's a down. But my happiness is a constant happiness. My happiness is a constant happiness. It is there, everlasting. So the way I'm living is good. But you know, if there is a hereafter, if there is a hereafter, then at least I'm ready for it. What have you done to prepare yourself? What have you done to prepare yourself? He gave him a straightforward, logical answer. Either this or that. What have you done to prepare yourself? Because if this life that we are living 50, 60 years, if this is it, let's say this is it, then I'm happy the way I am. Right? But if there is a life after this, then what? Are you prepared for it? Are you prepared for it? All the greatest men of history, the greatest people, human beings of history have told us that there is a hereafter. Everyone who was worthy of being called a human being has told, the rest is garbage. They died, no one even knows who they are. But those who are worth mentioning, You see that when they have said, they warned us about our hereafter. After death. And hence, when we do believe in it, then what? Then we see that yes, there is that life we must prepare for. We must prepare for it, we must get ready for it, and we must do what we can for it. Otherwise, what Islam has said, how to live this life, there's no better way to live this life. Because all the happiness of this dunya, whether it's in the form of drinking, dancing, music, any of these things that they regard as happiness, you see that there is always wrong and evil that is attached to it. The ending of all of, because I, you know, those who have experienced all, the ending of every party, the ending of every party ends in something wrong. And those who have been to parties know it. It's wrong, always wrong, something or the other goes wrong. Because what can happen? You have a bunch of people who have drunk and don't have akal anymore. So when you put emotions together without intellect, you get problems. Everyone is emotional and no one has intelligence. So what do you expect? There will always be problems. So that happiness is not happiness. That is just escape from reality. That is a pretension to happiness. Happiness comes with doing our responsibilities. With doing the right things. With giving, with helping and sharing. This is what brings happiness to life. And this, my brothers and sisters, is something that we must try to adopt in our lives. And inshallah, with this, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths, to give us the wisdom to understand His guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us His helper when He comes. وَآخِرَ الدَّعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ